Happy Easter. After a long Lenten season, we've arrived at the day of resurrection, a day of joy. Christ the Lord is risen today, and as it has been said, all creation seems to have been caught up in singing those praises. We've been studying the Beatitudes for the past six Sundays, and that concludes today. And so maybe you were hoping that culminating beatitude would go out on a cheery note. Well, then we get this doozy. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Happy Easter. Blessed are the persecuted. Huh. The beatitude doesn't seem to match the joyful spirits of today, and yet it is deeply rooted in the Easter story.
Persecution is a reality in this world. This past week, we've seen persecution as we walked through Holy Week. Jesus arrived in Jerusalem to shouts of Hosanna, but the religious leaders were not impressed and quickly began to plot his arrest and death. Eventually, they convinced one of Jesus' own to betray him and sent an angry mob to arrest him. They flogged him, stripped him, mocked him, beat him, and sent him carrying his own crossbeam to the hill to be hung on that cross until dead. We have seen persecution this week, capital punishment of a man who preached the hard truth of love for all people, to proclaim hope and grace to those who formerly had none. We saw persecution in the story of Jesus this week, but we also saw it last Sunday, as Egyptian Coptic Christians were killed while attending their Palm Sunday worship services. At least 49 killed and about 100 wounded, attacked because of their identity in Christ and their attendance in worship.
Around the world, I think Christians understand persecution far more than we do. I've learned a lot about persecution as I've read and heard the stories from our Nigerian brethren throughout the past 3 years. And those calls for prayer still go out for the Chibok girls. The third anniversary of their abduction, April 14th. And the reality that these girls may never come home is striking. In our own congregation, we heard the stories of killings from members of the Nigerian choir who sang right here in our sanctuary. We could see pain. We could hear their agony. These are examples that remind us that we don't experience persecution like some of the world does. It's not about playing a game to see who had the worst day. It's not about pity. It's not earning some badge of honor in the name of Jesus. No, persecution is what Jesus experiences on the cross. We witnessed it just this past week. Persecution is the power of evil, destruction, and yes, death. And it's a reality in our world.
Persecution is the world's response to righteousness and love. Our beatitude for today tells us that those who do the work of righteousness will most likely meet opposition. So it's like trying to walk in the opposite direction of the majority of people in a crowded place. It can be like walking through deep mud or trying to wade upstream in a fast-moving current, or trying to walk against a rough blowing wind. Going against the flow is difficult. It's uncomfortable. It takes a lot of effort. Doing the right thing for the kingdom of God often feels like walking with the wind blowing violently in our face.
So let's go back to last Sunday, when Jesus first arrives in Jerusalem, Palm Sunday. It felt at first like he wasn't walking against the crowd much at all. In fact, quite the opposite. A crowd welcomes him, ushers him into the city with their palm-covered roads, acting as though his donkey were a mighty steed. There was no going against the crowd so much until they heard him speak. And when he started to turn over their tables on the Temple Mount, When he continued to preach this truth against the religious leaders' wishes, when he refused to buddy up to the right powerful people, then the walk against the crowd was more noticeable. Then he was fully trekking against the current with the wind in his face. Jesus chose not popular opinion, but righteousness and hard love. The world's response was persecution. The world's response, the crowd's response became crucify him. This is the way the world responds to righteousness and love when it goes against the status quo.
Regardless, we are called to righteousness and love. Our Nigerian brethren know this calling well. They have continued to grow the church and the message of Christ's love even as they face violence. In a recent Newsline article, Marcus Gamache, who's a leader of the EYN Church, shared about the church and how it's continued to support and evangelize Nigerian refugees in Cameroon. He wrote, "The refugee camp is a world of its own. There is no end to the camp to human eyes. It's very large and overpopulated. The current population is about 32,948 Christians, and a total estimated number of Muslims of about 15,000. Out of this number, our church has up to 16,728 members. Up to 13 places of worship belonging to the EYN are within the refugee camp." Praise God, right? Even though the church continues to be a persecuted people in Nigeria, those that are willing to risk their lives for the message of Christ has only continued to grow.
But now we are in a place of privilege, where we don't have to worry about this type of persecution. But righteousness and love is still our calling. When the world rushes to judgment, the righteous are called to grace. When the world seeks retaliation and revenge, the righteous are called to seek reconciliation. When the world seeks to separate and splinter one group from another, the righteous seek solidarity and understanding. When the world wants to ostracize the betrayer, the righteous bow down and wash the betrayer's feet. When the world belittles someone, the righteous welcome them in.
When Jesus first names his ministry goals in his hometown of Nazareth, he was thrown out of town and almost hurled off a cliff. Quoting Isaiah, he had said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of our Lord's favor." And Jesus lived out this mission of love as he healed those who were broken in body and spirit, forgave those the world couldn't forgive, fellowshipped with the unclean. He didn't stop ministering even when people began to threaten his very life. Likewise, you are called to pursue righteousness and love regardless of your fear. Because the hope of resurrection casts out all fear. The world looks at the cross and sees defeat, sees death, destruction, and weakness. The world sees an end. But we are people of resurrection. We don't see death, but new life. We don't see an end, but a hopeful beginning. We don't see a period mark, but a comma. We don't see a tomb, but a cocoon. Christ has defeated death. Therefore, we have nothing to fear in this world. There is nothing worthy of our fear and anxiety in this life.
Is there a bolder statement than that? We have nothing to fear. You can hearken back to FDR's famous line, "The only thing to fear is fear itself." But you know what? Jesus said it first, didn't he? Repeatedly, he tells his disciples not to be afraid. And yet now they can fully understand why. Because the world used the best option they had in their persecution arsenal, the cross, to put Jesus to death. But death couldn't defeat Jesus. Not even death was enough to put his message in its place. Not even death. Instead, he is risen, and so is his message on this Easter Sunday. He is risen and has invited all of us to partake in his eternal kingdom, stripping death of its power over us. We need not fear even death, because Jesus has mocked death itself. You know, in some denominations, it is practice for preachers to begin their Easter sermons with holy humor. Doris Donnelly writes that since the most extravagant joke of all time took place on Easter Sunday, the victory against all odds, Jesus over death, the community of the faithful enters into the spirit of the season by sharing stories with these unexpected endings, these surprise flourishes, a bit of humor. Robert Atwell says that the empty tomb and the resurrection are seen as God's great joke on the world. We laugh and we sing because that is what God is doing today in raising Jesus from the dead.
So in that spirit, a cute and possibly familiar story. A little boy and his mother, shopping for Easter candies and decorations, ran into their minister in the store. Mom and Reverend exchanged a little chit-chat. Then the Reverend looked at little Johnny and asked, "So, what are you up to today?" "Oh," Johnny said, "we're getting ready for Easter." Seeing a pedagogical opportunity, the Reverend replied, "Oh, really? Hey, just what exactly is Easter anyway? Do you know what happened on Easter?" Little Johnny looked at the Reverend a little offended. "Of course I know what Easter is. It's when Jesus went to Jerusalem and he rode a donkey and they waved palms at him." "That's right, go on," said the Reverend. "And he got in trouble and he was beat up and yelled at, and then they nailed him on a cross and he died." "Very good, Johnny. What happened next?" "Well, they put him in a tomb and they put a big rock in front of it, but 3 days later he got raised and got out of there." "Johnny, that's great," said the Reverend, pleased to know that his Sunday school program worked so well. "But that's not all," said Johnny. "Oh," said Reverend, "what else?" "Well, the rock got rolled back and he stepped out and he looked around, and if he sees his shadow, there's 6 more weeks of winter."
Was that the surprise ending you were looking for? You know, I wonder if we've become so familiar with the Easter story that the ending doesn't catch us off guard anymore, like Johnny. But the Easter ending is much better than Jesus seeing his shadow or not. It is love amazing. And so I hope that the Easter story might shock and amaze you today as if you were hearing it for the first time. May it strike an occasion for you to smile, to sing, to even laugh, for Jesus just surprised the world. And do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. The good news of Easter is that death is defeated. Death has lost its sting. The death of death is your encouragement to now take up your cross and follow and be blessed.
Throughout Lent, we have discovered that to receive blessing, we must be like Jesus, who embodies each beatitude we've been reading this season. A humble and meek person who openly mourns, seeks righteousness and purity of heart, and who extends mercy and peace. We share the joy of Easter and our risen Lord as we follow in his footsteps to build this upside-down kingdom. So go be people of the Beatitudes. Go be people of the resurrection. Go be a blessed people. May it be so. Amen.